And we're live.
I love that you. I love that you gave like your like real sexy eyes there. You're like, we're live.
We're live. Okay, let's start. Hello and welcome to Pure Filth, the podcast about writing. I'm Michelle.
And I'm Sarah.
Welcome back, everyone. We're back.
Finally,
Woo-hoo! Finally,
finally.
finally. Yeah, we were away for a little while.
Finally. Sorry. Yeah, just having a little dance party.
Sounds pretty, yeah. We were away for a while, quite a long while. It was
I
quite a
feel like
hiatus.
we've spent more time not recording the podcast than we've spent actually recording the podcast. You know, like if you look, like it must be 4 years old.
You think so?
Oh fuck yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah,
We only have
maybe.
like 45 episodes in 4 years. It's not a
It's
great
an average
showing.
of 10 a year. It's not even one a month.
Yeah, it's not
Wow,
great.
that
Thanks
is
for sticking
bad.
with us,
That's bad.
guys.
Thanks for sticking with us, guys. And anyway, but in the grand tradition of
Yes.
our very sporadic episodes, we will start with the best worst message. And Sarah, you are up.
Okay. All right. You ready for this? So first of
Yeah.
all, this is Fab Swingers. No profile picture.
Obviously.
Very boring
No.
username. Subject line says, "Hi." And then the message
Yeah.
says, "Your bumhole looks incredibly smelly." Now, can I just say for anybody who's not on Fab Singers and hasn't seen my profile, my bumhole does not feature there. There's no pictures of my bumhole in the
That's what I
ether
was
anywhere, is there?
gonna say. You don't have a picture of your
I
bumhole
thought you were gonna say you don't have the
on
bumhole.
Fab Swingers.
No, I don't have one
No, you do have a
anywhere.
bumhole.
And it's not smelly, rude. It's very clean.
But also, how can, well, I suppose something can look smelly. Something can look smelly.
Yeah, I guess so.
But
But you have to see it.
the point remains that there is no picture of your bumhole. Now, my question is, do you think that he was insulting you, or do you think that that turns him on, smelly bumholes?
I think it definitely turns him on because he was like, Like there was at least
Oh
12
no.
M's. Yeah, he's into it. He's into my smelly
That's
bumhole.
very upsetting.
Do you
Your
know
smelly
what
bum hole.
upsets me? Actually, I think the most. Never mind the fact that he hasn't. There's no picture of my fucking bumhole. Anyway, it's the
There's
word
no picture of,
bum.
I can verify there's no picture of your bum hole.
No, the
You don't
word
like it?
bum is the most offensive thing. Like, toddlers have bumholes.
That's why you don't like it when I say bum bum.
I hate bum bum. I also hate boobies. I am a fucking woman. I
Boobies is bad, yeah.
have tits and an asshole. You've never
And
seen my asshole, but please address it properly.
in my defense, I would only say bum bum in casual conversation and never in a sexual scenario.
Oh my God.
And now I mainly say it because I know it annoys you.
I know, yeah, I know you do. I never assumed that you were like telling men to like put their fingers in your bum
Put
bum.
it in my bum bum. Yeah.
Would be such a
Never.
good username, wouldn't it? Put it in my bum bum.
Put it in my bum bum.
Anyway, so that message I really
Yeah, so weird.
enjoyed.
But can we also talk about for a minute the concept of photographs of your bum hole?
Oh, I'd really
Because this is
rather
something,
not.
have you been asked for pictures? Have you been asked for pictures of your asshole before?
Michelle, on a weekly basis, it probably features in
It's constant.
a third of the messages I get. There's some sort of request for pictures of my gaping asshole. And do you know what's really funny to me as
Oh
well?
my
Is like,
God. Well, hang on a minute. Your asshole is not gaping either. Let's clarify that.
No, but these are also the same men that think that your pussy juice is dripping down your legs, right? So their understanding of the anatomy is like, it leaves a lot to be desired. But well, one thing that always makes me laugh is when men are like, oh, you've got such a nice fat ass. And I absolutely all for being told I have a fat ass, because I absolutely do. But they're always like, they're always like asking me to like spread my cheeks for them. And I'm like, dude, do you know how heavy my fucking ass cheeks are? Like, I would need to be in the gym 3 times a week lifting fucking dumbbells to be able to spread my ass cheeks. If you want an ass that's easily spread, it's not going to be fat. Sorry. They just don't get it. Like, they don't understand the reality of a fat ass.
My problem with the request for the asshole pics is logistically very difficult to do.
Well, yeah, you have to prop up your phone.
Difficult to do.
Yeah, you'd have to
or you have to squat over it.
Oh, fuck. But sure, there'd be no light then. It'd just be darkness.
It depends where you put your ring light.
Oh, you see, you have a ring. Like, no, I'm not doing any of that shit.
But see, I'm not doing any of that shit either. And that's kind of my point. Like, be grateful for the nudes that you get. Please don't ask me to set up a logistically complex, you know, photographic scenario.
Yeah, it's a whole set for
so
you.
So that you can see my asshole, because I guarantee you that it just looks like an asshole.
And like, also,
like, probably the same as 99% of all of the other assholes you've ever seen in your life.
I don't want to see my asshole. Like, I don't.
Like, I don't get it. I don't want to see it. If I have to take a picture of it, then I have to see the picture afterwards.
Yeah.
I don't want to know what my asshole looks like. I genuinely don't. I'm very happy to never know what it looks like.
They don't look good. Do you know what I mean? It's not pretty.
I'm sure it's fine. Well, I'm like, sure it's fine.
No, I'm sure it's fine. Yeah, grand. But, like, fine for an asshole. Do you know what I mean?
And,
like, if a man has a choice between looking at my lovely face or my asshole, like, I know which option I'm fucking choosing. You know? It's weird.
Or even like boobs. You could look at my boobs.
Yeah, I've got so much going
they're
on
right,
here.
They're at the front. They're easy to photograph.
Yeah.
It's Can I like, interest you in a picture of my boobs instead?
Do you know what it's like? It's like, oh my God, this is amazing. But I don't know if I can word it properly. It's like there's a whole menu.
Okay.
On offer, and there's like tits, lips, ass, fucking thighs, even feet, right? And then
feet,
the asshole picture is like the vegetable soup. Do you know, like the grotty.
Hey, I like vegetable soup.
Okay, oh, fuck. Okay, give me an. Oh, it's I know it. It's the fucking soggy pavlova.
Okay.
Right? That's, you just know it's not going to be, you love pavlova. Fuck, okay, right. That would have been a really good analogy if I didn't have such
a. Are you saying it's like the, you're saying it's like the undesirable menu item?
Yeah, it's the thing on the menu that the chef has never once had to cook. Because nobody fucking wants that. When there's tits and ass and face and lips.
Nobody wants that.
Nobody's looking for the fucking asshole on a plate. Sorry, I've lost.
No. Fair.
Anyway.
You've lost the analogy now.
Yeah. It's quite late.
Anyway, okay, well, late. thanks for that story, Smelly Bumhole. next, we're going to discuss something that we were asked about during our hiatus, which is, where the fuck did we go? And what happened?
What happened? So, like, while we were
I suppose, first of all, people may be somewhat familiar with this. There was this pandemic thing, right?
What was
happening.
What was this?
And it's very difficult to have sex during a pandemic. And also, the world was kind of ending. So, the podcast wasn't top of mind, let's say. But in addition, you had a lot of stuff going on too.
Yeah. That's a good point. Like, even apart from, like, I actually was having sex. Do you remember Stephen? I was seen Stephen for like 4 months.
Yeah.
And having very regular sex with him. But yeah, just wasn't really in the mood to talk. The pandemic was tough going. Like, I feel like we've all just completely blocked it from our memories. We're like, no, just gonna put that over there.
It is quite difficult to sort of remember it. Like the daily feeling of it.
Especially, I feel like at the start, the first few lockdowns were very apocalyptic. I remember driving. It was like the second day of the first lockdown or something. And I was driving to the shop and I remember not seeing a single car and being completely freaked out. Like I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It was so weird.
Yeah.
We all need
it was very weird, but let's not. I mean, look, we're all sick to death of talking about the pandemic, so we're not going to talk about it. But it was all very surreal, and there wasn't a lot of sex going on, really. So that was part of it.
Yeah. And also, we weren't able to self-record at that point. We didn't know how to do it. We still had our producer and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, it's a bold claim to state that we now do know how to do it, but...
Let's see.
We're learning.
We're
learning.
But then I also had.
But then, in addition, yeah.
I also had like the most insane things happen in my personal life. So people have asked me to kind of like talk about what was going on, because there was like lots of times over the course of the last couple of years where like I'd go on the Instagram and I'd kind of explain, look, like we will get the podcast going again, but my life is just fucking in shit right now and whatever. So people said that they wanted to know what happened. So I'm just going to try and keep this really, 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 really brief. It's an incredibly long and complex story, but I'm going to try and keep it very brief. So
I'm very interested to, I am so interested to hear your recounting of this.
It's going to be, what?
Because I'm sort of like, where is she even going to start? And what are the points that she's going to hit? Because obviously I've been here through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And if I have been telling, you know, I don't know, I'm telling everybody what's been going on. But if my mother is like, how's Sarah getting on? I'm like, oh, you know, she's grand. But like this happened or that happened, you know. So I've been telling like little bits to like my very close people who you wouldn't mind me telling. Yeah. So I'm really interested to hear how you're going to tell it.
Well, I feel like I should preface it by saying to all the men listening, since we now know that 75% of our fucking listeners are men, you can just skip ahead. Because this is there's no sexiness here, right? You just skip ahead.
Nothing about this is going to be sexy, no.
So basically, my relationship with my mother completely fell apart at the start of the pandemic. Yes. Has always been very, very tumultuous. Has always been a very tense, high conflict relationship. But at the start of the pandemic, few things happened and it all fucking fell apart. And I was in therapy at the time anyway, because the pandemic was having a bit of a shit time. And through therapy, I sort of realized that if the relationship between my mum and me was anybody else, I would have looked at that relationship and said that was emotional abuse. And it made me completely reassess my whole life with this woman, which was very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And through the over the course of many months of fucking therapy and self-discovery and whatever, and a fucking lot of tears, I decided that I was going to basically leave my family, walk away from my extended family, walk away from my mum, end that relationship, that I was going to end her relationship with my daughter as well, and that we were going to relocate over to the West. And she took it very, very badly. And essentially...
Well, that's not to say that you necessarily stated that to her. In your actions, you ended the relationship, but you weren't like...
No. I was trying to have as little contact with her as possible.
We no longer have a relationship.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So you just kind of cut contact and minimized your interactions with her as much as possible.
Yeah, and my wider family as well. And it was...
Yeah.
It, you know, I've kind of learned from talking to people since that it was noted by everyone, and everybody was very, you know, not concerned is the wrong word, but they noted my absence. And basically my mum's response was she tried to have me sectioned. And she also tried to have my daughter taken off me. She contacted TUSLA, the social work agency, and reported me for child neglect. She
Yes.
started telling people that I was having a mental breakdown, and because I do have a history of mental illness, the context of that, people got very concerned. My dad got very concerned, other family members, people tried to intervene. My daughter's dad, she really manipulated him into thinking that, you know, our child was not safe at home with me. And yeah, there was so many other th there was a day I had to have her removed from the house by the Gardaí. There were so many other things. There were so many small events, like none of them were fucking small, but there were so many little things that happened.
No. And this was all done under the guise of concern as well, like
Yeah,
as if
it was
she was just
gaslighting.
trying to help. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was gaslighting, and it was really hard because for anybody who has experienced gaslighting, if somebody tells you that you're crazy enough, eventually you start to think, oh my God, what if I am? What if I just don't know I am because I am? And when it's your whole fucking family, like this is a big family, big family in a small village, it was very tough. It was very, very tough. To make matters worse, she was also my landlord. She had bought this property years ago as an investment. The plan was for me to buy it off her. We were living there, we were renting. She decided that when I wasn't kind of cooperating with her, she sent me an eviction notice. Then, you know, the search for a home in the West really got underway. That was very difficult. About 6 months driving back and forth, got offered a good few houses, and all of them changed their minds when I mentioned that I was a HAP recipient. It was fucking horrible. It was fucking horrible.
Was
Yeah, and luckily, when I did have to go for my psychiatric evaluation, my psychiatrist said, don't know what you're doing here, off you go. And when I had to be interviewed by the social worker and have her come to the house and inspect the house and all that kind of stuff, she also said, she actually apologized to me. She was like, I'm so sorry that you've had to go through
Yeah.
this. And Rosie's school were completely on my side, and they were like, no, she's a happy kid, like we've no concerns. So, you know, that was nice. And eventually, just a couple of weeks ago, we got a new house. We've moved out. I now don't have any kind of connection with her at all. And yeah, we're just kind of trying to start over completely. And it's you know, like it sounds, I don't know, when you fucking say it like that, like it sounds like it wasn't that big of a deal or something, but it was like my whole world fell apart, you
No, that
know.
does sound like a big deal. I think you have weathered it all, so not it obviously seems like normalized to you, but the very concept of your mother trying to evict you and her granddaughter is such an egregious and cruel thing to do. Like that is baff it's baffling to any normal thinking person.
No idea, I get that. And you know, things like the psychiatric evaluation, like, you know,
That was a good crack.
logically in my brain, I knew I was going to be fine. I knew they were going to look at me and go, no, you're fine, whatever. But like, I remember sitting in the waiting room waiting, and I was shaking uncontrollably because I thought, if this doesn't go my way, I don't know when I'm going to get to leave this building. Like, they can detain me here. Like, you know what I mean? And the same thing with the social worker. When she at the end of the visit, and she said to me, "Look, I'm really sorry. I'm going to close this case. This never should have happened." I don't know if I'll ever be able to describe the way I cried. Like, I collapsed, and she was like trying to hold me up, and I couldn't catch my breath. It was so, I don't know. I don't know. It was so, the whole thing was so fucked up. The whole thing was so fucked up and still is. But the good news is that we are out of that house. She has nothing on me anymore. She has gone down all of the legal routes that she can to manipulate and control me and all that kind of stuff. And nothing has worked. And now it's an exciting time to just try and move on. And, you know, it's sad, like, having to live without a family and stuff. That was an adjustment in itself, but yeah, it's good. Like, it's the end of a really fucking dark chapter, and so I couldn't record.
But in the meantime,
because I was a little bit like, it's just a little.
I mean, okay. There's no way. There was just too much going on. But also, I just wanted to say that in the meantime, like, you have been in contact with some of your other family members, and like, those family members will always probably ultimately be like on her quote unquote side or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's not like you're completely cut off from everybody. Like, you can be civil with them, and most of them, you can be civil with them, and you do have some people that, you know.
Yeah, like, the ideal situation would have been to move away to the West and not have to deal with them at all. Just fucking close the door and just leave, right? But, you know, the housing market being what it is, all of these other external factors, I just couldn't make it work. No matter how hard I tried, I couldn't make it work. And my daughter was starting secondary school in September, and the clock was ticking, and we got offered this house here. It's a great house. We took it. The downside to that is that, I have to bump into family in the shop, and some of my family just refuse to even look me in the eye anymore. But some of them don't. And I will stop and chat to them, and I'll talk shit, and I'll shoot the breeze, and I will represent myself as somebody who is legally sane and, you know,
decent. You have a piece of paper that says so.
I literally do.
Amazing.
Just try and get on with life, you know what I mean? And run my business and, you know, try and squeeze in a ride when I can.
Try and squeeze in a ride.
But yeah, it was, look, it was a lot. Like, I was throwing up with anxiety randomly. When I moved into this house, like, a couple of weeks ago, I remember texting you and our other friend and being like, I cannot believe how well I'm sleeping.
Yeah.
Because I haven't had a good night's sleep in 18 months. And I hadn't really realized that. I kind of didn't notice that I wasn't sleeping properly.
I remember you saying before, when you were still in the old house, that sometimes when you would hear the gravel in the drive, it would put you just on edge in case it was her.
Yeah. I was so fucking.
And then randomly, I think like the week you moved out or something, or the week before.
Yeah, she was sitting outside the house. She did
show up at the house, and you immediately vomited.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you are a nervous, you're an anxiety puker.
Yeah, and I never was. I've never done that before in my life. I've been through clinical depression. Mm. I've been suicidal. I've had eating disorders for years. All that stuff got kind of resolved in my mid-20s. I was never an anxious vomiter, ever. And then this started, and I just started fucking throwing up all over the place.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, it's just fucked up. So right now, I'm in a really good place. I'm so relieved to be in this new house. Like, I wake up in the morning, I feel so rested, I'm excited to go downstairs, I'm not nervous when I hear cars outside. And because of that, I've been able to start like going to events with you again and like actually having a social life.
And as well, also, now that your daughter is in secondary school, you have a little bit more freedom than you did before.
Yeah, which is great. It's great for her as well. All of this has been very hard for her. Obviously, I don't want to talk about her here, but it's just for the two of us, It's a brand new day, Michelle. And
it's amazing.
You know, one of the good things about all of this has been, I was saying this to my friend the other day, I feel fucking indestructible at this point. Like, if that didn't fucking
honestly,
kill me, I'm like a cockroach. You're not getting rid of
me.
Do you know what I mean?
I was literally about to say that. You're an emotional cockroach.
Yeah.
Nothing can kill you now.
No, I can't imagine anything being harder than, you know, ultimately at the end of the day, what happened was I lost my mother. You know what I mean? And I'll never have a mother again. And that's despite all the anger and betrayal and everything that I fucking, you know, I wish her nothing but pain and agony, like truly. But I also have had to grieve the loss of a parent. Do you know what I mean? And that's been like really, really fucking tough. Really fucking tough.
Yeah.
But look, let's leave it at that. This was to talk about sex and things, but people did want to know. And I think that's a pretty decent explanation. What do you think? How did I do?
It's a good summary. But you left out the best bit of the whole thing, which was that when you did move, I got to drive a van. And I was really happy about that.
So that's really the main event for you.
The main event through the whole thing for me was getting to drive a van. I loved it.
Wow.
So great.
You were really good at the van.
The best thing about it was that the gear stick was like really high up. It was just a dream.
Yeah, every kind of that's every kind. Yeah. I'm so happy, Michelle, that I was able to make that dream come true for you and that I was able to support you in that goal.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Okay, talk about what else now.
Let's talk about sex. What else are we going to talk about? Yeah, so, but since the pandemic kind of ended and everything's really properly gone back to normal, we have started going to events again.
Yeah.
So previous listeners will have known that I have always been pretty regular on the kink scene for years and years. But I had taken a break in like 2016 after a breakup because I just need a little bit of space. But now post-pandemic, I have gone back with a bang, shall we say, and I've started going to events again. I'm back DMing at the fetish club that I work at.
Explain what DMing means.
And it's been so great. Dungeon monitor. I'm a dungeon monitor.
So she's a helper. You help with the organization. You keep an eye on things. Like, people don't know what a fucking dungeon monitor is.
Yeah. I don't like it. I don't like that you say I'm a helper. I'm the boss. I'm the boss.
Sorry.
I'm in charge. Thank you.
But to be fair, you are in charge
help
always.
People. I tell them what to
everywhere.
Do.
That's yeah, always the
I
case.
I tell them what to do. No, it is helping. It is helping. So I a dungeon monitor is just basically like event staff. So we like do the door a little bit and we monitor for like dress code and we keep an eye on people's scenes, if they're playing, they're doing spanking or whatever, making sure everybody's being safe and that the crowd around them are like walking into the scene or they're going to get hit accidentally or whatever, and just make sure everyone's behaving properly, that nobody's too drunk, so on and so forth. So that's what a dungeon monitor does. It's not as sexy as it sounds really, but I enjoy that. So as we
make it look sexy,
the best part is that's true. The best part is that you've been able to come back to events with me and it's been so fun.
I know. It's been really fun. So like before the pandemic, the only event I had been to one kink event, like a proper like kink event. And it wasn't, I just didn't enjoy it. It wasn't for me. I'd been to a lot of private swing parties and then I'd been to a lot of the Vanilla Club, which is the swing nights that we used to go to. But I had never really been very involved in the kink scene. And I'm still not, and I'm never going to be. But I've been to like Two Munches now, I've been to Swingsters twice, been to Glitter Bomb, I've been to Niv Knock. I've been squeezing lots in and it's been so fun. And like, just the people on the scene are so fucking cool. They're such good
They
people.
are.
They're such
They're
good people.
cool.
Your friends are
They're
awesome.
cool.
And I'm so happy that
Yeah,
I get
they
to
are
make them my
class.
friends. Thank you.
Totally. And they like you more than they like me anyway, because every time they see me, they're like, "Where's Sarah?" I'm like, "I'm sorry, she's not here."
That just made me
Jesus.
wet.
Good. Where's Sarah?
Yeah.
Like, I don't
Do you
know.
know what? Like,
I
this
really
is.
like her. I'm like, what about me? Do you really like me?
Oh, that's really nice to hear, though, because you remember, so the first weekend we went to, what happened? We went to the Munch and then we went to the Kinky Carvery on the Sunday, remember? And then we all went for drinks after. And oh my God, lads, I fell down, right? We were sort of walking to the pub. I wasn't even drinking. I was the only sober one there because I was
Sarah, oh
driving
my
home,
God, I had
right?
completely forgotten about this.
Michelle, this keeps me awake at night. So, big group of us, right? Remember?
But I it took me a full 30 seconds to remember what you're talking about because I'd completely forgotten about it.
But, like, I was so on edge, right? Because, okay, we'd just come out of the pandemic, right? I'd just been through all this shit with my mum, which really knocked my confidence in a weird way that, like, you sort of wouldn't expect. And then I was making all
Yeah.
these new friends who were so much kinkier, like, and I'm doing air quotes here because that's a bullshit. Like, you don't measure kinkiness in that way. But I felt like the most vanilla, like inexperienced newbie in the room, whatever. And they all knew each other. They all knew Michelle, whatever. And so I'm like trying to be fucking cool and impress all the cool kids. And I just fall. Like, literally, just face planted the fucking ground at like 2 o'clock in the
You
afternoon.
didn't
I'm the only fucking
even
solo.
trip over anything. You just fell.
No, I just forgot how to use my legs.
Yeah.
Just fell. And it was just, like, and then do you remember I got home that night and I was like, oh my God, like I feel like I made a show of myself all weekend and like nobody likes me. And I think it was from mostly just not seeing anybody for 2 years during a pandemic and then suddenly being thrown into fucking Dublin city centre with all these crazy kinksters.
Yeah.
I just got really in my head. So it's lovely
And
to hear.
you're like, I'm a river. Yeah. No, they do. They all really like you. They think you're class. And
Very
remember I was
likable.
telling you I was at the Munch last night
Yeah.
and I met a guy, we've just talked about this, but I met a guy that was there at the speed dating event that we had gone to. So there was like a kinky poly queer speed dating event that we went to, and we were advertising it on the Insta at the time, so some of you might remember that. But we met this guy,
Was way
and
back
we
in
were
the
just like,
summer.
oh, it was way back, and we were just remembering it and like laughing about it and remembering the stupid like balloon game that we played where we couldn't, me and you couldn't burst one balloon, and we were like, our reputation is destroyed.
Can I just also can we just give the balloon game 30 seconds of explanation? Because I feel like I need a fucking medal here, right?
Exactly.
So with the speed dating, the organizers broke it into kind of like sections, and then in between each section there'd be like a little break, and then there'd be like a little icebreaker game, just because there's,
Like a
people felt a
game,
bit
yeah.
tense or whatever. And one of the games was people had to go in like pairs, and you had to basically burst balloons by pretending to fuck each other. And
In
she.
different positions.
Yeah, but she made us do it. And I just need everybody to understand I have a deathly fear of balloons. Like,
That's right, you're scared of
do you
balloons. I
remember
forgot about
Dua
that.
Lipa? At the end of Dua Lipa, she released all these fucking balloons. And the next thing Michelle's looking for me, I'm
You
on the
were
ground.
unhappy.
Like, Heidi, I hate balloons. I hate them. They're a
Doesn't like
fucking
balloons.
liability. They'll
Doesn't like
pop
balloons.
right in your face. I don't understand they appeal.
Oh.
So, but anyway, I
And
didn't want it to say.
by contrast, I worked in a balloon shop
You fucking must be.
for
You're a slut for
many years.
balloons.
So I'm a balloon professional and I have no fear of balloons popped or otherwise.
I didn't want to let the side down because she was like, oh, here's the pure filth girls. Off you come now, dear. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to fucking do I'm going to I'm just going to shut my eyes. It's not
Yeah.
a balloon. I'm going
And
to
then,
couldn't pop one fucking balloon
but then
ever.
when she told us, we were like, when she told us what it is, we were like, this is our entire reputation on the fucking line here. If we
It's
can't pop
so
any of
much
these balloons, we're
pressure.
done. We're over, right?
We're
Everybody will know we're
cancelled.
full of fucking shit, right?
We'll be found out.
And not one balloon could we pop. Not one fucking
And
balloon.
there was all these
It
other
was criminal.
pairs. All these other pairs up on the floor beside us at the
Oh,
same time. Oh, fucking pop, pop, pop. They were popping balloons
steady
like
popping them.
2 seconds of me and Michelle are on the ground, dry-humping each other. Like,
and I think it was because, and I maintain this to this day, we're too soft and round.
Yeah.
There's nothing pointy on us to pop anything. And also, we're both bottoms, by the way. So how are we supposed, like, we don't know how to top and burst the balloon. It was very upsetting. But anyway, we were telling this story to Helen, my friend who was there, my twinny, and we were laughing about the balloons or whatever. And I was commending this guy on having come to the munch by himself.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, if I hadn't been with my partner at the time that I came onto the scene, I think I would never have come. And he's like, ah, no, you would have. I was like, yeah, no, you're probably right. He's like, oh, you would have came in like a wrecking ball.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, okay, fair. And he's like, also, you and your friend, he's like, I'd say now you just make a fair impression in pretty much any events that you go to. And I was like, yeah, okay.
Good man.
You're right, but calm down.
So at the speed dating thing, we both matched with him. And then I matched with another guy. But we both matched with him, and then he decided not to pursue it. So, like, the way it was organized was, like, if you matched with somebody.
That's what it was.
Yeah. Do you remember? Because we were trying to figure out who we had matched with. And then we both matched with this one person in common, but we both found out that one person had decided not to pursue it. We were able to figure out it was him.
Very interesting. Okay, very cool. But yeah, he was at the munch. He was real nice.
Yeah, he's a hottie. I would.
Yes, me too. He's cute. Dibs. Thanks.
Based on what? Sorry, you need to just.
Based on the fact that I got to him first since he came back last night.
No.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, fine. What else? Okay. So
I'm not sure he's a dom anyway, so you might not want him. Anyway. We're back on the scene,
baby.
We are saying. We've gone to a few different things. The best thing that we've been to was the Swingsters party that we went to a couple of weeks ago.
Last week.
And that was good crack.
Friday. Today is Sunday.
That.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. That was a super fun night because we both got to have sex, which almost never happens. Which is maybe strange.
Do you know what? It was last Friday.
I know it was last Friday. Yeah. Fucking know it was. See the way I give in to you.
Seems like a very long time.
Even when I know I'm
seems
right.
Seems like a very long time ago.
I know it does.
Yeah, we both got to have sex. It was very exciting.
I'm so annoyed.
And for me, for both of us.
Sorry, I'm just saying. I'm so annoyed. So I started having sex before Michelle did, right? And Michelle and her guy came up and watched me for a while, and that was fine. And then they went off. Like to another bed in the same room.
I was trying to hide.
And you were trying to hide. Sure, I couldn't fucking see anything.
I was trying to hide from. I was trying to hide from you because I didn't want to put you off.
If you wouldn't have put me off. It just would have. No, never mind. I'm not going to say that. But I'm so annoyed that I didn't realize that you were just a couple of beds down having sex because I would have been like roaring and stuffy. It would have been so funny. But then I think the men would have disliked it.
I'm very
it.
Glad that you didn't.
Yeah.
I
would have enjoyed it.
No, it would have been funny. It was very unexpected for both of us.
Yeah,
it wasn't planned or anything.
No, totally unexpected for me. Walked in and within the first like 5 minutes, I saw a guy, and I turned to my friend who was
like,
the organizer, and I was like,
"I want that one."
There's my daddy. Who is he? Somebody needs to let him know
who's
that
he's
my daddy.
Who's that man that's my daddy?
Yeah. Oh, like he is. He's just like gorgeous older guy in his 50s. Like delicious. fun, very, this is one of the things I really like about older men, is that they are very careful with their words. Do you know what I mean? So like when I was talking to him outside, he was just sort of like letting me babble on nervously and kind of just like smirking and nodding his head at me. I think that's so sexy. Do you know what I mean? When they like, maybe it's, are you
laughing? I mean, just, I'm laughing because just being quiet, shutting the fuck up is sexy when a man does it.
Yeah, it's really attractive.
When a man does it, it's really sexy. It's very attractive.
But you know when they have that like real knowing look on their face, like you could tell that he knew he was making me nervous, and I was like, I was just babbling to fill the fucking silence. And blushing, and he's just standing there smirking at me, and I'm like, please fucking say something. Super hot, and great play. He is a sensualist top. So what that means is, I mean, you can maybe correct me on this, but my understanding of it is he's not really a dom, but he like really enjoys very sensual play, and I guess being a top in that scenario means he's focused on giving pleasure to the other person.
People often get confused by the designation of top, bottom, dom, sub.
Yeah,
but it's sort of like an umbrella system. So everybody who's a dom is a top,
but not everybody who's a top is a dom. Yeah,
exactly.
A dom is just
so
a type of top.
All doms are tops. All doms are tops, but not all tops are doms. Mm-hmm. So a dom is someone who engages in consensual power exchange. Yeah. So there's a mental like giving over of power and control from the sub to the dom. And then the dom decides like everything they're going to do. Whereas the dom has control. And part of that is expecting to like push boundaries and stuff. Whereas with the top, they might be like, oh, I like doing these specific activities in which I am the giver. So I am spanking you, or I am fucking you, or tying you up, but everything is,
I'm doing things to you.
No actual mental, there's no like mental power exchange where they're like, well, I'm in charge.
Yeah.
It's just their driving, let's say.
Yeah.
Very,
very enjoyable. I do prefer my men to be doms, but this guy was, very, very enjoyable. Started off with like really nice, like sensual massage. Then like he had this, so he went upstairs to the bed, right? And he takes out a literal toolbox. Like it's the same toolbox as I have my fucking little Mickey Mouse screwdriver in. Takes out the toolbox. Yeah. And I'm like, oh Jesus, what have I just signed myself up to? So I start going through the toolbox. And he had like, what's that thing called? This was the one that I really loved, like a pinwheel. Is that what it's called?
Wartenberg wheel is what it's called. Okay. Yeah, like a pinwheel.
And then he had like all these other things. He had floggers. He had like all sorts of vibrators, all this different stuff. So yeah, it was just, it was really fun. Lost all my bodily fluids. I lost enough bodily fluids for three people.
I was going to say, so when I eventually, I came upstairs and I think I was in the hot tub. No, I was in the hot tub because you had gone to play and I was like, okay, well, everybody else is playing. I'm just going to get in the hot tub and chill for a while. And so I did that. And then there was a really hot scene going on the main bed, on the open bed in that room where a person was being like a consensual, like a community toy for the night. Yeah. So their cock was caged and they were blindfolded and restrained, and then everybody could do sort of whatever they wanted. Now their partner was there and their partner was obviously in control of the scene or whatever, but anyway, that was happening. It was super hot. So I was watching that for a little while, but then you could hear the fucking you could hear your doll screeching down from the end.
Please, and I was don't like, say screeching, please don't say screeching. Find a better word.
Squealing.
Oh, that's not really what I wanted, but I believe squealing. I do believe it.
And went over and sat down, and there were two people there watching you, and they were like, she's already squirted four times. I was like, yeah. I believe that.
That's my girl.
I believe that.
Listen,
and then eventually
I said to him on the night, if you put fucking money in the vending machine, don't blame me when sweets start falling out, right? It's nothing to do with me.
This is it. And that was before he had even started fucking you.
Yeah, so there was a lot of play before he started fucking me. And then when he started fucking me, I at this point, like, so I think a lot of squirters find the same thing, that like the first few times you squirt, you have to kind of put a bit of effort into it. And then you just completely lose control of the situation altogether, and you sort of leave your body, and you're just like, oh, this is happening. And so he was fucking me and I just kept squirting, and like every time I was squirting, I would push him out by accident.
Yeah.
And he was like, fucking stop pushing me out or whatever. And I was like, I can't. And he was like, I don't know how to get you to stop squirting. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. He's like, I've lost control of this. And I was like, me too. I don't know. We're just like laughing at each other. It's funny.
That was funny.
But it was, you know what? It was really nice, because one of the reasons why this guy stands out to me is he is the first married cock that I've had. Knowingly. I don't know. I've probably had many, to be fair. But he was the first guy that is married that I have agreed to play with. His wife was not there, but they swing and they're open and they're whatever. And I don't know why it didn't put me off with him. I think he's just so sexy. I would have been like, yeah, fine, with anything.
Well, this is a conversation that we've had recently anyway. Well, we had the day after, where we both don't usually play with attached guys. And it's because sometimes it can be messy, right? But also, this is very unfeminist. Wait for me to say something really unfeminist. I have absolutely no interest in licking some doll's hole so I can fuck her husband.
Oh my God. Absolutely.
Nope. No, thank you. I'm sorry. I don't mean that. I don't mean that literally. Well, I do mean that literally because I don't play with women. But metaphorically, like, yeah. I don't want to have to play nice and be like, oh, no, yeah. Not doing it. I will not do it.
Yeah.
But this guy, in particular, they just seem to have it like sorted.
Are you talking about my guy or your guy?
And it's
your
guy. Your guy.
Oh, my guy.
Well, we didn't meet his wife, but he was there on his own. So obviously that dynamic's not there.
No, and also my guy.
She has like dominion over what he's doing.
Yes. But also my guy is very old friends with our friend who runs the event. And she has been telling me about him for years and saying, Sarah, you need to fuck this guy. You would love him. So I have absolute faith in her ability to assess his marriage and know that it's fucking healthy as fuck and there's not going to be any problems that. Yeah. You know, that was a real, that was reassuring for me.
Yeah.
But it was great. Like, the play was really good. He flogged me quite a lot and quite hard, actually, which is not usually my thing at all. But I really, really liked it. I liked when it hurt. Which is a new thing for me.
Ooh,
yeah, I liked when it hurt.
That is new for you.
That is new for you. That's kind of exciting. And we had nice cuddles and kisses after, and he was great with the aftercare, which was great. And then we just went downstairs and like hung out. It was so fucking easy. Like, it was just, he knew what he was doing. Mm. I felt so at ease with him. It was easy. Definitely, he texted me the next day. We're definitely going to do it again.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it was good. And he's so much older than me. It's so
the funny. Highlight of he loves grandas.
Like, me and you had this conversation the next day. He is literally, legally old enough to be my dad. As in, like, he would have been at least 18 when I was, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's so hot.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking love an old dude.
No. No, I can't do that. I think it's because I have such a young dad. So once they hit that sort of generation, I'm like,
What age is your dad?
Can't do it. Well, he's 60 now.
Okay, yeah. Mine is only 50.
But I wouldn't go for anybody. See, I wouldn't go for anybody in their 50s, even.
That's, see, I love the 50s. This guy was in his early to mid 50s. Love it. Love it.
Yeah, no.
They're so confident in this really nice, like quiet way. There's no fucking ego. There's no posturing. Yeah. And I think it really appeals to my brattiness. I find men that age very calming, you know? I find them very soothing. Like, there was no way I would be remotely bratty to that guy. I was like a little fucking kitten purring away. And then there's other men I'd be giving them, like, slagging their cock size as they're fucking me. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I just find I just really like that older man energy. Delicious.
Well, the highlight of my evening was undoubtedly for you. The raffle.
Oh.
No. The raffle.
Yes, the raffle was funny.
Which was wonderful. The raffle was great on a number of levels. Number one, because of the prize that I won, and number two, because of the manner in which I won it, which was sheer determination.
And I think also because I tried to win it off you and you beat me.
You tried to ruin it and I still won.
I had to try it
in very loose terms, because by the very definition of a raffle, I did not win, but I did take home the prize.
Yeah.
So at this particular party, right, the host always does a raffle, which is so fun, and Good Vibrations, the sex shop, always donates the prizes, which is really cool.
I did not know that.
So yeah, but the main prize, the ultimate prize, which I won, was not donated by Good Vibrations, was donated by somebody else. But anyway, so they have a raffle every event, and you just get a ticket when you go in. Like, you don't have to buy a ticket, you just get a ticket. So
it's included in the door prize or whatever.
Raffle time. Yeah. Raffle time comes around and she calls everybody and we all go down or whatever and we start to draw the raffle. So they're drawing the raffle, drawing the raffle. People win loads of different things, little toys, anal beads, bits of like lingerie. Somebody won like a Tenga egg, like one of those masturbating egg things, and so on and so forth. I have decided that I have been to this party 3 times and not won the raffle, and that was unacceptable
to you.
So I decided, it was unacceptable to me, yeah. So I decided that I was going to win the raffle.
Mm-hmm.
So
you manifested it, Michelle.
Our friend, I manifested it, yeah. Our friend who was drawing the ticket was drawing, and I was like to him, I was like, you better pull my fucking ticket, right? And he pulled a ticket that was one number away from my ticket. So I had 364, he pulled 365, right? And I roared. I was like, you motherfucker. I was like, I can't believe you pulled the one that was one away. And I was like, I'm one away. And because of the nature of the event, not everybody who has a ticket is at the raffle. Some people are upstairs having sex. Some people have already left, so on and so forth. So there's a lot of like pulling of tickets with no actual winners happening at the raffle. So I made such a hullabaloo about this that the host decided that if she pulled 2 more tickets and nobody claimed them, that I would de facto win the ultimate prize of the night. And we didn't know what it was. So that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But at the last minute, Sarah was like, oh, but I'm two away. That's closer. And I was like, one is less than
I didn't say
you're not closer.
I didn't say I'm two away. I didn't make the distinction that two was smaller than one. I said I have this number, it's two away. I forgot that you were one away.
Oh, okay.
And then you you turned around and looked me dead in the eye and you were like, bitch, I'm fucking one in the way. one away, fuck off. And I was like, okay, sorry.
So they brought out this big box and I was like, what the hell is going on here? So open the box, and what is inside is like it's a fucking machine. What it is a fucking machine. It's like a small red like saddle that kind of sits on the ground, and in the middle of it has a hole in it. And then inside the box there's all these other toys and stuff. So basically what you do is you put batteries inside the saddle piece, and there's a mechanism inside the box that makes the toy that you put in the hole go up and down, or essentially like fuck you. So you sit on it and it fucks you. And that's what I won at the raffle. And it was the best night of my life. I was so happy. I was so happy that I won the raffle.
So when Michelle was opening the the bags. It came in this huge bag and it was like wrapped up whatever. Michelle's like, the raffle's over. Michelle goes over to a chair with her fucking prize. I'm straight over to see what the fuck's going on. And as Michelle is taking the saddle part out of the bag, I saw that there was like some vibrators and dildos and stuff at the bottom, and I grabbed one and just stuffed it in my bag straight away. I was like, she won't want this. This is the you smallest literally one.
Immediately stole it.
I immediately stole it. But I knew that you wouldn't want that one because it's too small for you.
I wouldn't want that one. It's too small.
And I have had a great time with that this week. That is my new favorite.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah, no, it's really, it's a nice addition to the collection. So thank you for that.
I don't think it would work well with the fucking machine anyway, because it's got a yeah. curve on the end of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think that would be weird. Anyway, so then I did an unboxing on the Instagram of the fucking machine, which some of you may have seen. And if you did see that, you will know that it takes a lot of batteries. It needs 8 giant batteries to work properly, which I haven't bought yet. But I am going to buy the batteries because I'm committed to trying it properly for science. But in the meantime, I have done a test for science. Yeah. In the meantime, I have done a test just, you know, analog.
Yeah.
Without batteries. And it was great fun. A workout, yeah. But great fun.
Yeah.
Very good. I'm delighted with it. Yeah, I just lubed that bad boy up and just hopped on.
Yeah, to do it on the bed.
But it's excellent. Yeah, on the bed.
Nice.
So I could hold on to the headboard.
Yeah, and you didn't have sore knees.
I had soft then on my knees.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
I didn't have sore knees. The one thing I will say, though, about the bed is that obviously the bed is bouncy. So when you're actually trying to fuck it yourself, you're bouncing the thing at the same time.
Mm.
Much the same problem that you have when you're riding a man on top. You're bouncing him and yes. yourself at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's not very conducive. But because of the height of it, it's way better than being on top of a man, because a yes. man is not that high up.
No. You could put a lot of cushions under
a big
thighs
and a big ass.
Yeah.
I often do, but I don't think you would ever, his back would break if you tried to make him as high as that.
Yeah, I know it is. It's got good height.
Which I'm not particularly, which doesn't particularly bother me, but it would be difficult to get him out again.
Listen, perhaps, if know. He dies, he dies.
If he dies, he dies. So yeah, so stay tuned for the updated review of what we are informally entitling the sex box.
Michelle, I laughed so much when you were putting up your Instagram story. So anybody who follows us on Instagram will know that like I mainly do the Instagram stories and then Michelle like pops on and does her bits here and there. And so I was watching when you went on and you were like, okay, like doing, you know, unboxing the sex box, blah, blah, blah. And then you kept referencing the fact that you were going to do a demonstration. And I was watching this be
demonstration.
Like, I was like, does she know what that sounds like? Does she know that there are men all over Ireland with their dicks in their hands ready to see Michelle fucking sex?
Waiting to see the demonstration. Well, I didn't mean like demonstrating it on me. I just meant a demo.
But that's
like,
absolutely
I will
what it sounded
you.
Like. It's just funny.
Well, I'll do a live demo at the next Swingsters. How's that?
That is good. Yeah.
I'm going to bring it with me.
Do.
And everybody can have a go. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it'll be good fun. I was talking to my friends at the Munch last night and our other squirty friend, who I won't name for obvious reasons, her partner was like, oh, well, if she's going to get on it, then you're going to need some sort of like a tarp, like a giant, like a huge giant condom. I was like, yeah.
I want to know who it is.
I don't know if I really want like water getting into the mechanism.
Okay.
She did you doesn't... see me whispering it?
Yeah, do it again, though. You're going to write it down? She's going to write it down. She's writing it down, everyone.
I don't know. Yeah, hang on. I scribbled all over the piece of paper that I have.
I feel like I know who it is.
Let me write on this, the back of my credit union receipt. Well, then why are you making me do this?
I don't like the idea of somebody squirting more than me. I'm going to have a competition with her.
But she, as far as I can see, I don't think she has particularly squirted more than you in public.
No, it doesn't count if it's not in public.
It's backwards.
No, Oh yeah, that's her thought. I'm six times the size
had
of
to
that
try and read
woman.
it backwards because of
I'll drown her.
the mirroring. You will drain her. But anyway, yeah, look, everybody can have a go. I'm not worried about that. You know, you can put a condom on the actual dildo piece, and it's the machine itself is wipeable. I just don't want to break it by introducing too much liquid into the mechanism.
No, you want to keep her
we'll
watertight.
It should be fun.
To cover it in cling
Want to
film.
keep her watertight, yeah. I think at a minimum, I will enjoy having like a fake MMF with
Oh,
it.
yeah. A little spit roast,
So,
spit
like,
roasty.
on the fucking machine. A little mini spit roasty, sort of. Yeah,
Yeah.
on the fucking machine.
Nice.
While also doing a BJ.
Doing BJ.
So that would be super fun. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And also, blowing on a cock. And so, yeah, I will come back with a better update. Not a demonstration. A review. A proper
put your
review.
Cocks away.
And put your cocks away, men. The other thing we also have to do
That's
is figure out how
often.
To hack different... Very rarely. We have to figure out how to hack...
Sorry. I've literally never heard you tell him I put a
cock
away.
Away. Oh, my God. Peepees are grody. Ew.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, please continue.
I'm going to have to figure out how to hack different dildos onto it because it only works with the toys that come with it. And
yeah,
there's only one.
You need
it's fine.
Man.
I don't think I'll probably figure it out myself. But, like, yeah, it needs something a bit more intimidating for all of the hungry hole bitches I know. No, I don't know. We can't talk about mummy's pudding because I don't know where it came from.
Okay, right. So, on the way home,
this is going to be the bane of my life until
it
I
is.
Remember
I'm never gonna let you
where it originated.
On the way home from the club on Friday night, right, we got a lift from my taxi driver, who I'll talk about in a second. I know we're very late on time here.
We're
but
way
I think,
over. You're going to have to talk about him next time. We'll talk about him next time.
Fuck off. People have been waiting 7.5 years this episode, right? They can manage an extra 15 minutes.
Well, they can... No, they can wait another 2 weeks. Anyway, talk about mummy's pudding.
Fuck. So we're in the taxi on the way home, right? But we were I was certainly quite drunk. Like, I drank a lot of gin that
I
night.
Was drunk. I
yeah,
was
yeah,
drunk.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And poor Rambo, we're calling him, as my taxi driver, right?
Yeah.
He's just loving the crack, right, with the two of us in the car, showing him the sex box, having the crack, whatever. And then I said, oh, that'd be great if you're a hungry hoe or something. And he's like, what? And so I told him about the time recently. If you follow us on Instagram, you'll know about this. When a guy messaged Michelle telling her that he really wanted to dump a load in her hungry hole. And how it's become a thing with us where we constantly refer to Michelle's hungry hole. Brings us all great joy. It's good crack, whatever.
Yeah.
But we were really drunk in the car, right? So we're like cackling about Michelle's hungry hole, like howling
hungry hole,
laughing his head off. And then we get out of the car, right? Like the opposite state of us, Michelle, in the middle of fucking Dunleary with our fishnets ripped to shit. Me so
it was
young,
it was,
and the two of us
it was easily 4 a.m. It was also it was easily 4 a.m.
Howling laughing about your hungry hole, and then out of nowhere, nowhere. Like, literally, out of nowhere, Michelle goes, Mummy's pudding.
But no, Sarah, that's not what happened. And this is what's really annoying me, right? Because I remember, at first it was just pudding. And we were laughing at pudding. And then I distinctly remember this, but as I opened the door, I said, would you like a taste of Mummy's pudding? And you were in the lane. You were in the lane, like clasping your legs together because you were on the verge of pissing yourself.
In front of fucking Rambo, like, oh my God, I was funniest.
This was way down there. But what's really annoying me, what's really, really annoying me is I can't remember how we got from a hungry hole.
You've lost sitting. A couple of
There's
seconds.
There's a missing
there.
Connection, and that is just. And I actually think that you were the one who said pudding, and then I took it and riffed on it and made it mummy's pudding, and now it will never be forgotten.
Do you know what? We should ask him, because he was fucking sober. I'll text him and ask him.
No, but it happened. No, it happened on the street after he left.
Oh, we were just
as we were walking. So we were walking up, and I had like my bag. I had like my handbag, and I had like
your
the tote bag that we had, and I had this Xbox. So I was carrying like all these things. We were laughing, like roaring laughing, and I just can't remember what it was.
Well, anyway. That's Michelle's mummy's pudding, which is the new name for her vagina.
Mummy's. It's not, no.
Yeah.
It's not my vagina.
No, it is. Yeah, it is.
So upsetting. It's not my vagina. It's a humorous name for a vagina.
No, no, it's your vagina specifically.
No,
yeah.
It's not my vagina.
No, it is. Mummy's pudding.
So. No.
Oh fuck, it's so funny. And then he sent me
so upset. I think I preferred Hungry Hole. I definitely preferred Hungry Hole over Mummy's pudding.
Yeah.
If that's what we're calling my vagina.
Absolutely anything is better than this.
Mummy's pudding.
Oh fuck me. Oh god.
Anyway.
Oh, the shit, like I don't know. Oh, and then there was so much gin, but weirdly I didn't feel drunk until we got into the car with him, and then I was like, oh shit.
It was
such a fun night. It was such a laugh. Even at the very end of the night, like after we'd both finished with our men, we were just lying on a couch downstairs, and like our friend who runs the event was coming over and feeding us jelly snakes like directly into our mouth.
Jellies.
We were just like, yeah, nom, 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 nom. Give me jellies.
He put his, put your snake in my mouth.
Yeah.
And he did.
Yep.
And that's it. And so we're going again to that particular party in December, not mentioning any dates. We're going to that particular party in December. But in the meantime, we're going to an event at the end of this month. We're actually going to two events in one day. One of them is a flogging.
Whoa. We went to Nivnock the next night. For speaking chronologically,
we don't have to recount every single event chronologically.
Do we not? Well, there's
we can
nothing
talk
to say
about that
about
a different
Nivnock,
time.
Really, we were both sober. Neither of us drank.
Exactly.
And yet we were so fucked after, exhausted, and we didn't play because you can't play at that. But there was a really fun
we
night.
Were just
it was really,
really
good. Really, really good crack.
It was good fun. We can talk about your Nivnock impressions another time.
Okay.
But yeah, so we're going to another event at the end of this month. It's at like a flogging workshop, which I'm very excited about because I want to learn to flog. That's on in the day. Sarah wants to be flogged.
Yeah. I feel that you have not given enough consideration to the fact that I am absolutely not going to be able to take it seriously, and I will be having all of the crack. Okay, so as long as you're okay with me,
yeah, no, that's the point,
like moaning mummy's pudding.
No, it's not going to be
like
serious
while you've got me. Okay, cool,
it's going to be fun.
Okay, yeah, I'm
that's
excited.
Totally fine.
yeah
and then that evening then we're going to a fetish night called Deviate, and that will also be fun because it'll be Sarah's first time at that event. And I was recently at it at Halloween, and it was an absolutely banging party. It was so good. The best version of that event that I've ever been at.
Mm.
So I'm hoping that that will continue because the venue's recently been taken over by someone
Kinksters.
Who's in the community, and they're attempting to turn it into like a kink friendly space overall, and I think that has kind of boosted attendance or whatever. So I'm really excited to go to that party. It's like a fetish nightclub, but it's a different vibe to Niv. Mm. It's a bit more chill, maybe a bit more approachable, and there's like a chill out area as well, like in the front bar of the venue, which is really nice where if you want to go and have 10 minutes of like decompression time,
mm.
you can go and have a little drinky in there, so that'll be fun too.
Yeah, really looking forward to that one now. And then once I go to Deviate, I've kind of been to pretty much everything, won't I? Like all the big ones.
You'll have been to everything, yeah. Then you'll have completed Kink, and you can retire forever. But yeah, I think that's all for now. Let's wrap it up. And obviously, we're gonna try and come back a little bit more regularly from now on, but probably no more
a little
than
more regularly, at least once a year.
But I suppose we should just say that we're doing this completely on our own this time. We're not trying to monetize or anything like that. Well, right now anyway,
we don't have a producer anymore. Hobby, so. We don't have a studio anymore.
Yeah, bear with us. We may come and go as life gets difficult or busy, but we're just trying to give ourselves a little bit of a break and just keep it fun this time.
So yeah, it started to feel like a chore and kind of almost like put a bit of a strain on our friendship, which neither of us wants.
Yeah,
so
completely.
We're just from here on out, like, this is a fun hobby that we will do as and when it suits us, and you can go and fuck yourselves if that's not good enough.
Yeah, and I feel like we've got so much more to talk about now with events and the fact that we're both trying to get the ride back on pad again as well. So we'll have loads of juicy stories for you all.
I'm getting the ride on Tuesday.
You know how I feel about jinxing.
I know, yeah.
Who are you riding on Tuesday?
Do you remember PJ?
Can you say?
Yeah, I can say.
Yeah.
Yeah, PJ's coming
back. Yeah, I do.
PJ's coming back.
Oh my
so
god!
So I'm not gonna eat anything for like 48. I'm just gonna stop eating now.
Look, I'm stopping the story before you started, and you can tell it the next time. You can give us the update. You can give us the whole backstory.
No,
plus the update.
Don't ever want to tell that story again. It's been told once in an episode. If people haven't heard it, they're not devoted enough listeners, and I'm not giving it again.
That's fair enough. Okay, well,
so hopefully
anyway, stop
talking. That's going to happen,
trying,
and we can
I'm
talk about
to finish
it
the podcast.
Time. Okay, sorry.
Great. Okay, well, thanks for listening, everyone. So happy to be back. And we'll catch you next time. Bye. Are you going to say goodbye? Or are you just
going to speak now?
On?
Am I allowed to speak now, yeah? You give me permission?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right,
you can
bye.
Say goodbye, but that's all.
Okay, just
bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.